It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Planning for Wisconsin's rail plan for 2050 is underway within the Department of Transportation, and this plan will replace the 2030 statewide long-range rail transportation plan. Work on the 2050 plan set to be completed this year. Join in on passenger rail, Amtrak's Hiawatha line, corridors, extensions you're interested in, 800-642-1234. Terry Brown is Public Relations Vice President for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers. With more than 600 members, the group seeks to bring more passenger rail service to our state. Terry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning. So the State Transportation Department adopted its Rail Plan 2030 as a series of goals that you're intimately familiar with to reach, you know, for passenger and freight rail in the next decade. How, you know, I can't avoid the pun, how on track is Wisconsin toward meeting its goals?
Oh, I'm not that intimate on the 2030 plan, but I think I can say in all honesty, they didn't meet many of them.
Why is that?
Lack of funding, lack of interest. They also need to work with a company called Amtrak, or the National Rail Passenger Company, which was what formed in 1971. And Amtrak has other priorities, which includes lack of money in their own department, so to speak. So passenger rail expansion in the Midwest has been choppy, if I can use that word. Illinois has done fairly well. Michigan has been a little more methodical, and they've done well expanding their services. Wisconsin has, in the interest of passenger rail, Wisconsin has focused on one thing, and that's been the Hiawatha. And when you just look at the Hiawatha, it has excelled in so many ways over the last 5 years, the last 10 years. Ridership was nearing a million riders per year. Of course, COVID did that in. One of the things I've heard Amtrak officials talk about in regards to the Hiawatha and how it's a model is working on a plan, a strategy on how to price the train so that you maximize, so that you get a very good number of riders taking the train versus the cost of the train, how much money Amtrak needs to run the train on a daily basis versus how much money is the state of Wisconsin willing to spend to support the train.
I just want to pause. I want to pause right here and say the Hiawatha train is the one offering round trip daily service between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Correct. Good. That's good to clarify that. So before COVID hit in March of 2020, the Hiawatha service was very close to having no state support needed to sustain the train. The revenue from tickets was almost 100% of Amtrak's expenses to put on that train. And that is, in the Midwest, that is a huge accomplishment if they could have pulled it off. With COVID and ridership numbers are down, that plan, that strategy has had to change.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to reintroduce you for a moment as we talk about Wisconsin's rail networks with Terry Brown, Vice President of Public Relations for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers. You can join in on passenger rail, what you want to see and what you want to know about the corridors. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. as you talk about the Hiawatha line, and the ridership now, where do you see post-COVID ridership? What has, before COVID in 2019, nearly 9,000 passengers in 2019. What is that like now?
In 2019, I think the ridership was more like 980 million passenger fares were paid on the Hiawatha fiscal year 2019. And I believe I understand through the Wisconsin Department of Transportation that earlier this summer, ridership on the Hiawatha climbed just compared to 2019. And that's where we're at right now. So we had a 7-car consist running with the 2 Hiawatha trains in 2019. Right now, when you look at the train, it's 4 cars, and one of them isn't used much. So really, 3 cars are doing it. In 2019, 80% of the riders on the Hiawatha were business riders. We had a good bunch of people in the Milwaukee area that were commuting to Chicago every day. So 80% of that nearly million were business riders. It's almost flipped now. The Hiawatha today is very dependent on leisure travel, personal travel. So the Hiawatha today is full on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I'm told Tuesdays and Wednesdays are the poorest days now for train ridership on the Hiawatha, which I'm also hearing other inner city trains, commuter trains, that's consistent across many trains in the United States now. As people are working remote, they're not traveling, they're not taking commuter trains to work, they're not taking inner city trains related to their work. Our work landscape and how public transportation is involved has greatly changed, some areas more than others.
That would, I imagine, make planning for the future very difficult, because a 2030 plan wouldn't have anticipated a pandemic or a supply chain upending freight movement across America. It wouldn't have anticipated an infrastructure law. All of these economic developments. So I wonder, what are you watching for? What do you expect out of a 2050 plan?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that. That is a great question. I'm looking at, with WISARP, I'm directing our resources on extending the Hiawatha trains to Madison and to Green Bay. There are going to be a good number of business users that will use those trains, but I'm thinking particularly the Green Bay train, there's going to be more passengers, more potential passengers that are going to use the train for that personal trip, leisure, tourism, things like that. And so between the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and Amtrak, they're going to have to shift their focus a little bit in marketing for these leisure personal agenda travels.
Like personal agenda directly to Lambo agenda.
Exactly. I can think of maybe a dozen times I've personally taken the Hiawatha to Chicago to see concerts. Mm-hmm. Artists that chose to have concerts in Chicago didn't choose to have one in Milwaukee or somewhere else in the state of Wisconsin. So me personally, I would take the train to Chicago, and most of the venues were within walking distance. And my favorite Hiawatha train used to be the late night return from Chicago Friday night or Saturday night, I think it left Chicago just before midnight and would get into Milwaukee just after 1 a.m. I used the Hiawatha much more myself when that train was added to the schedule.
Terry Brown with us, the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, a group working to bring more train service, more connections to state residents. Join in on the future of commuter corridors of high-speed rail. How do you use rail service? Do you use the Hiawatha line? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss passenger rail in our state as advocates around the country hope the infrastructure law could spell really a watershed moment for passenger rail funding. The rail manager at the State Transportation Department told the publication Route 50 this spring that these route upgrades, they take a long time, and the process of increasing the number of passenger trains running between Milwaukee and Chicago, that started over a decade ago. Join in on rail service, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Terry Brown is here with the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, stays with us. Let's bring in Lori now in Shawano. Lori, what's your experience?
Years ago, I used to work down in Chicago every other week, and I didn't know about the Hiawatha, and I was taking the bus, and the schedule would change all the time, the prices, depending on what time of day, if there was a holiday. I mean, one time I took the bus on a Monday, which was supposed to be $48 from Green Bay to Chicago, and she charged me $62 because it was the day after Easter or something like that. It was, you'd be on this crowded bus, people coughing on you, and no leg room. And I got yelled at one time for sitting in the front seat, moving from the second seat into the front. The bus driver told me I couldn't sit there. Well, then I found out about the Hiawatha running, I don't know, 6-7 times a day. And I started taking that, and all that aggravation went away instead of getting caught in traffic and seeing nothing but ugly cars and ugly pavement. You're going through countryside. There's lots of leg room, plenty of room, big roomy seats.
So
nobody
it was quite the contrast, what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
You lost, you didn't have that unpredictable schedule, and it sounds like you didn't have the price fluctuations that you couldn't understand.
Exactly. And not only that, but it's the same price on the train all the time, and your ticket is good for a year. With the bus, they would charge you almost as much as your ticket to change it if you couldn't make a time or if you were late or something. And one time they even charged me for having a baby. I've never had a baby. I don't have any kids. And when I called and said, you know, this is not right, they're like, well, yeah, that was right. That was the right charge. It wasn't. I've never had that issue with Amtrak. And if I didn't make the train that I wanted to get, I could use the ticket for the next one. So Amtrak was so much easier, and I really hope that they can get one. I wish they would have had one to Green Bay, because I could have taken that instead of renting a car to Green Bay and then picking up my car with just this process. But if we couldn't even get a common sense one from Milwaukee to Madison, I can't imagine with the Republican legislature would even approve something to Green Bay. I hope we get it, but...
Lori, thank you for bringing your experiences of bus and Hiawatha line. Terry, what's coming up for you here?
I'm thinking I want more callers like Lori. I like Lori. That's a great testimonial for passenger rail. That was awesome. And she's not the only one with those kind of experiences. If I can derail from your question for a little bit, my personal attitudes about passenger rail, I have to credit my father with. He did not like taking buses anywhere, but he would do passenger rail. And you have to ride the train to understand what we're talking about. So
we see this huge push now toward electric vehicles and Amtrak trains. They're diesel, some are electric. Are passenger trains more or less efficient than driving, than cars and planes? What do you see there?
I'm not sure how to answer that. For sure, a passenger train is going to be much more environmentally friendly, particularly so for those listeners of yours that either can visually see a Hiawatha going by, or the Empire Builder, which travels through the state of Wisconsin. They're seeing a different engine in the front now. It's manufactured by Siemens in California. They're called the Charger, and they are state of the art as far as emissions, being very extremely low emissions, even compared to those older engines that Amtrak has been using for the last 25 years. So from an environmental standpoint, yes, passenger rail travel within the state of Wisconsin, within much of the Midwest, is much more environmentally sustainable than traveling by car, traveling by airplane. It's a discussion that doesn't have to go on very, very long, quite honestly.
Terry Brown is with us, Vice President of Public Relations for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, as we look at the future of passenger rail service in Wisconsin and your experiences at 800-642-1234. Ross now in Crawford County. Ross, hi. What is your experience you'd like to bring up?
Hi, good morning. For those of us that have had the opportunity to travel in Europe, and to see their train system and how reasonably well it runs. But I think most of us understand that Europe went the route of train to move people around.
Ross, I think we just lost you there as you're out on the road. But it sounds like Ross was headed that, you know, Europe made the investment in trains early, Terry Brown, and we really made an investment in our highway networks and airplanes. What do you make of that?
I agree with that observation 100%. I think back to a comment I heard. Danny Plower is the chairman of the Virginians for High-Speed Rail, and he told the story one time about his father was involved in Europe in World War II, and with all of the devastation and destruction of cities and the countryside and everything in many of the countries in Europe coming out of 1945, many of the countries made a conscious decision as they rebuilt to make the rail infrastructure extremely important for transportation for the masses instead of the car. And of course, gasoline taxes are very high in Western Europe compared to the United States. And that's kind of been the mold that has been growing for the last 75 years.
Do you see the public support? Do you see the public support for more passenger rail service specifically in Wisconsin? What is that like?
It is growing. It is growing. It's stronger than you realize. And with that in mind, we need to get more of these people, more of your listeners that share the same attitudes you and I have. We need to get them to tell more people. They're state lawmakers. They're local representatives. That maybe they're mayors or their county administrators. They need to tell everybody that they like passenger rail. They want passenger rail. The analogy I'd like to use is I still like having a Chicago style hot dog. And if I don't tell the person preparing the hot dog that I like having a jalapeno pepper on my hot dog, they wouldn't know that and wouldn't put it on the hot dog. Turn that around to passenger rail. If you don't tell your state lawmakers that you like passenger rail and you want passenger rail, they're not going to know. And in many of them, they don't care. And we all need to collectively get together and write our lawmakers, call them.
And let's,
if they have little public events in your area,
let's pause there. Terry Brown with the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers. We'll talk more here on the corridors, the future of commuter service after this news update on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the future of passenger rail in our state as Amtrak announced recently it seeks to hire 4,000 workers in a wide variety of jobs. They're hosting hiring fairs mostly along the Eastern Seaboard, but also in Chicago. Terry Brown is with the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers and stays with us. Let's bring in Charlie in Beaver Dam. Charlie, hi. What's on your mind about passenger rail?
I was talking to someone recently, and they were saying that they're going to take some of the old railroad beds that have been turned into trails and turning them back into passenger tracks and trains. Specifically, it was over by Eden, Wisconsin. Is that true?
Charlie, thank you. Terry, what do you know about this?
That is not true. That would be nice. I have WISARP, Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers, does have a subcommittee that's just focused on the Green Bay Extension train. That train is proposed to have stops in Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Appleton, and Green Bay. The old, what Charlie was referring to was the old Chicago and Northwestern main line that came up through the northwest side of Milwaukee, and it went through West Bend and from there up into Fond du Lac. That is a bike trail, and I've actually biked the entire length of the trail myself. And there's currently no plan to bring that back. There's been talk off and on about it, but the Green Bay Extension Subcommittee, their proper name is New Rails, Northeastern Wisconsin Rails. They are planning on one of two options. That train would either go west out of Milwaukee and at a junction called DuPlainville would connect to the Canadian National Main Line, which runs north-south up to Fond du Lac. Another option is it would utilize the state-owned track that goes through the 30th Street corridor and would go up through Germantown and connect to the Canadian National track just south of Slinger. There's been off and on talk, but there's no plan right now to reactivate that corridor for rail service, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of corridors, the Evers administration is keeping alive this proposal to create that commuter rail line between Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee. How viable is that project?
Yeah, I heard you play my little quote from WWM there from a few weeks back. I'm not very optimistic that that'll happen. One of the reasons why is a lot of people look and say that that's one of the train projects that is proposed on the Wisconsin Rail Plan 2050. And let me read from one of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation documents about commuter rail recommendations. Yes, WISDOT needs to continue to provide support, and they are expected to provide technical expertise on commuter rail lines. But it says right in the Wisconsin Department of Transportation rules that WISDOT will work with the legislature and local governments to examine options to create these commuter trains. These commuter trains will need to come up with their own local funding, and they will need to do their own revenue raising for a local authority or a regional rail commission.
Okay, so the hitch is the local funding could be a barrier.
Yes, yes. And in that document that you saw, the group that has stepped up to say that they would lead in the creation of this line is a group, the acronym is WTRG. I believe that stands for the Wisconsin Transportation and Realty Group. If you go to their website, WTRG.com, there's nothing there that really indicates interest in the KRM line. I was reading about how the previous attempt on the KRM commuter line came to pass, and everybody talks about how the Republican-led state government put the hammer down, I'll say, on that rail line. But some of the documents that I read indicated the communities of Kenosha, Racine, in Milwaukee weren't exactly lockstep as to how the train would run, how it was going to be funded, what percentage of support was each community going to have to allocate to support this train. It just struggled in its preparation, and I don't know if that'll be any different today.
We're talking with Terry Brown, who is Vice President of Public Relations for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, getting your take on rail service in Wisconsin and where it goes from here. Perhaps you want to talk about your community and rail, the Hiawatha line, maybe lessons learned from 2010 and the high-speed rail line from Madison to Milwaukee that almost came to pass. 800-642-1234. Debbie now in Eau Claire. Debbie, hi.
Hello.
What would you like to bring up?
I just had a quick question. Years ago, I live in the Eau Claire area, and years ago, we heard about there might be a possibility of a train between Minneapolis, St. Paul, out into Eau Claire. And a lot of people were very excited about it, thinking about, wow, we could, you know, go shopping, we could go get jobs in town and come back, and, you know, hospitals. We were really excited about it. So we don't have any trails, any railroad access up here in North Central Wisconsin. So is that anything that we can look forward to, or is that kind of like hot air, just plain talk?
Debbie, thank you. Yeah, Debbie, thank you. Terry, what about Eau Claire?
That is not hot air. It is in the planning stages. They have had some struggles and missteps along in the last few years. I'm going to point you to westwisconsinrail.org. Run all those words together, westwisconsinrail.org. The Chippewa Valley does have a rail commission together. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't pull out of the air the counties that are involved in that commission, but planning is beyond step one. There was talk about four trains a day. That sounds very exciting, going between Eau Claire and St. Paul, the same station that the Empire Builder uses. That is a very vibrant group up there that has been working very hard on getting that train going.
So when you look, though, at the priorities for rail and these connections we have talked about in our conversation, Eau Claire, Green Bay, Madison, what is it about the Green Bay area that makes you anticipate passenger interest compared to the other proposed lines like in places like Madison or Eau Claire?
Probably the number one reason why I'm more excited about the Green Bay train is all the population that's Green Bay, the west side of Lake Winnebago. I mentioned Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, and Appleton would be stopped, but what about Neenah, Menasha, Kimberly? Those are large towns, and there's many of them in that corridor. It's a large population center in the state of Wisconsin, and it's a little spread out. You know, when you add the prime communities that a Green Bay train would go through, Madison, if you were to add the population of Madison, Sun Prairie, and all those communities that form a ring around Madison and Dane County, it ends up being just about equal to the population along the Green Bay Extension. So there's absolutely no reason to say Madison should be a second train to Green Bay. As a matter of fact, the president of the Wisconsin Rail Passengers Association is pretty adamant about trying to come up with a proposal in our own group state rail plan that would make the Madison Extension and the Green Bay Extension equals.
Let's go to Rick in the Green Bay area. Rick, hi. You want to bring up funding?
Yes, I got a question about funding. I'm under the impression, but I don't know for sure, that an example is the Hiawatha rail line, passenger rail line, has a lot of state and federal tax dollars that are being utilized to support that rail. Can you confirm or let me know, is there a lot of state and federal tax dollars that are used to support Amtrak and other passenger rail lines in Wisconsin? Thank you for the program.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, so in the case of the Hiawatha, there is not any federal funding that supports the daily operation of the Hiawatha. There is some state funding that supports the daily operation of the Hiawatha. As I mentioned earlier in the program, the Hiawatha was on the verge of being totally supported by revenue.
Fares.
By the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
By the tickets sold, the fares, yes. So a different formula is going to have to be worked on. Where the Hiawatha is getting federal funding is there is some construction going on, some improvements in that corridor between Milwaukee, particularly between Milwaukee and Glenview, Illinois. There is some federal funding there. For example, the station at the Milwaukee Airport, an addition is going to be added on to that station so that passengers can board on the second track or the west track for those in the Milwaukee area that know what I'm talking about. If you've seen the station at Sturtevant, sometimes the trains, it would be ideal for the Canadian Pacific to route the train on the track that's farthest from the station. So passengers go up an elevator, walk across a portion of the building that goes over the track, and then they come back down in an elevator or their stairs. And this allows more efficient running of the trains by the Canadian Pacific Railroad. Hmm. There is federal funding in constructing that identical kind of station at the Milwaukee Airport. Another project in Milwaukee that has federal funding is, I believe it's called the cutoff to the Muskego Yard. I was last week, I stopped in at the train station downtown Milwaukee, and there was an intermodal train going through the station, which blocked one of the Hiawathas from coming in. That needs to stop. And it will when this cutoff is constructed that will reroute freight trains through Muskego Yard is just west of the Milwaukee Intermodal Station downtown.
Yielding to freight still an issue. Yes. Let's pause right there. Terry Brown with the advocacy group, the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, as we take stock of rail service in our state, future corridors to watch, and what's on your mind with train service. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The High Speed Rail Alliance poses a question to ponder. What if Wisconsin businesses could send employees to Chicago, the Twin Cities, or other communities in the region faster by rail than by driving or flying? Getting at your thoughts on passenger rail service with Terry Brown here, Vice President of Public Relations for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers. Terry, we heard from Bob in Rice Lake who said, look, you're talking about Milwaukee metro area and Green Bay and Madison and Eau Claire and these city centers. But what about rural parts of the state and people, especially living in northern Wisconsin? What is the future of rail service in the rural areas of northern Wisconsin?
On the 2050 rail plan, there's no direct rail service scheduled or proposed. Amtrak is all about the larger urban areas, I'm sorry to say, for the people that live in rural areas. As I've traveled around along the Empire Builder route, I have come across many people that have driven, say, up to 150 miles to come to a station along the Empire Builder route, be it La Crosse, Tomah, Wisconsin Dells, Portage, Columbus. What possibly the Green Bay train would do is reduce the amount of miles these people would drive to catch an Amtrak train. Mm-hmm. Same thing for that Eau Claire train. I understand the Eau Claire train is just going to Minneapolis, but yeah, it's a tough sled. It's a tough go right now for people that live in the real rural areas. I'm sorry to say that may not change in the next decade, but expanding these other trains hopefully would reduce the miles someone would have to drive to catch a train. You mentioned Rice Lake, which would be a shorter drive to Eau Claire than it would be to Green Bay. Brings to mind, if I can steer the conversation a little bit, one project I've been working on since 2017 is the second daily train. Some people know it as the TCMC,
the Twin Cities Milwaukee
Chicago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would run on the Empire Builder route. That train will have a shuttle bus that'll go from Eau Claire to Tomah to meet up with the TCMC train. If we can get that bus to be successful right away, WISDOT has the passenger rail manager has left the door open that we might try to get a shuttle bus that would connect to the Empire Builder. One of the problems there is the eastbound Empire Builder has had very poor on-time performance. Uh-huh. The westbound is very good, but the eastbound has been inconsistent and very frustrating for a lot of passengers.
Let's bring in
the second daily.
Oh, you're about to say the second daily service on the TCMC and the status of that. Will that be implemented next year?
That's the current talk that I'm hearing. Canadian Pacific has indicated that they will allow the second daily train to run before the agreed upon construction projects, mostly in Minnesota, before those track infrastructure projects are completed, which is an incredible statement from the Canadian Pacific Railroad. The train that may start first quarter 2023 will only be a three-day train. It'll only run 3 days per week to start out. The current thought is the fourth quarter 2023, that second train would truly be able to run as a daily train. And it's for that reason that we need to get the word out, and we need to tell people when this train is running and what the schedule is. The schedule has not been set in stone yet, and so I would point your listeners to the WISARP website, which is WISARP, WISARP.info. And I will post that information as I get it on our website.
And we'll also have a link at WPR.org/mornings. And very quickly, I want to bring in David in Milwaukee. David, go ahead.
I'm so interested. Hearing about the TCMC is news to me. I have a brother that lives in River Falls, which doesn't have rail service, but I ride the Empire Builder to Red Wing and he picks me up. The TCMC would give me another option to get up there more with a more reliable schedule. So thank you very much.
David, thank you. And David also wants to know, what can people do to encourage lawmakers to help bring rail service to Wisconsin?
Oh, just going back to what we discussed, I believe in the second segment, is to contact your lawmakers, your city officials, particularly if you're along the Green Bay route, or we didn't mention the Madison train, the Madison extension. The current thought is there would be a stop in Watertown and Pewaukee. Pewaukee signed that Madison letter of interest for a train. So recently an Amtrak official told me Amtrak is seriously looking at Pewaukee as a stop for that train. So if you live in or near those communities, write your city officials, the alder persons, the mayors, county officials,
get the communication flowing. Yes, Terry, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Kate.
Terry Brown, Vice President of Public Relations for the Wisconsin Association of Rail Passengers, promoting efforts to a statewide rail network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.